Okay, so we'll go with a cold opening for Friday on the front porch. New machine has apparently forgotten the sound card again. It happens. These things have to be worked out. At any rate, it is a minute past the hour, a minute and a half past the hour. This is the horn for the 30th and final day of June 2017. We will not have another June day in 2017. This day will not come again. You know, ever. So I hope we've enjoyed it thus far, and we'll enjoy the next 3 hours. Just without any, sound effects or anything. So that's okay. That's completely okay. Just kind of means we're going to be, who knew? We got a big Microsoft update last night, the Creators update, and apparently somewhere along the way, not last night, not immediately after the update was done, because I've been around this track a couple of times, so you know, Microsoft being Microsoft, I checked them out, and everything was rolling good, and then everything was rolling good 30, 40 minutes ago, and no. Okay, well, there's our problem. How's about that? Doesn't even see the sound card. Well, bless my soul. How about that? We'll get through anyway. It's Friday on the front porch for the 30th day of June, 2017. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, host of the program, and occasionally the engineer thereof as well. Sometimes the engineering, well, it doesn't. Some days the magic works, some days it doesn't. But at any rate, this is a special day. Every Friday is a special day because we get to get together and carry on a conversation, a group conversation, in fact. And that makes it especially fun. We'll fire up the group here in about, 57, 56 minutes or so. If you've never participated in Friday on the Front Porch, it's really easy to do. What do you mean? I've got audio going in, I'm sending, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. Yeah, that's right. Everything's right. Right, 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 right. Oh, great. Anatole, throw the third switch, Mr. Yeah. Thank you, Sparky. You're golden, Bob. Okay, so I'm sending. Don't do that to me, Anatole. Don't ever do that to me again, okay? Please? That is not a nice thing. It's not nice to fool. Never mind. So we do have a program, and yes, if you've never participated in Friday on the Front Porch before, and you would like to, it is easily done. You merely fire up your Skype, and on Skype you send a contact request to Sparky Dunk. One word, SparkyDunc. And then you wait for Sparky to show you the breadcrumb trail, and point you toward the correct quadrant of the sky where the Bob signal will be flashed off the clouds or the moon or, you know, whatever comes in handy. If you absolutely, positively cannot deal with Skype, there is one phone line that will work for you. And that is the stress line, area code 304-663-4676, area code 304-663-HORN. And I can tie everything together and it'll work. It'll work just dandy. That'll all happen, here in about, like I said, 55 minutes or so. A gentle reminder, we have come into Friday on the Front Porch, the last day of the month, we're sweating it. If we meet our funding goal for the month, we lick the Lithuanian and nudge the Norsky. And it's going to take a tall order to do that this month. namely $475, because we pulled up a little short on the rest of the week, and so we need to finish off with $475 this evening, and we will nudge the Norske and lick the Lithuanian. So if you want to help out, run on over to headonradionetwork.com, click on the the contribute tab where PayPal is, and just fill out go with the little interface there, and whatever it takes, whatever you feel like you can do. It would be great to see some new names on the contribution list this evening. It really, really would. And remember, we're still looking to get 400 subscribers. That's 13 $10 a month subscribers per day throughout the course of a, you know, ordinary month. And that would make things like this at the beginning of the program and throughout the program unnecessary. But right now it's necessary because we don't have any advertising. We simply we make it from day to day and program to program on the determination of the Horn Family Community Congregation that this program go forward from month to month to month. Okay, great. So thank you. Thank you, Sylvia, for letting me know it's coming. Everything's coming in on TuneIn. Thank you, Billable Rick, letting me know that I'm coming through on the Horn website loud and clear. That is very, 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 very helpful because we don't have confirmation monitors here. It's not like terrestrial radio. So I don't know what's on your mind for the... by the way, the mailing address, for those of you who don't like PayPal and prefer to use the U.S. Postal Service. The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, Beckley, WB 25801 is the mailing address. If you'll let me know that you're using the mail, I'll tell Boss Man Wayne to be on the lookout. And, you know, he doesn't have to reach with such trepidation into box 318 with those spider-proof gloves on, and he can focus on making sure that the exalted, noble pish-posh of the Klan isn't just around the corner from him. Sometimes Boss Man Wayne takes a banana peel in and throws it over there by where the Klan gets their mail. It's funny when Klansmen fall down. Yes. Now, so there are multiple conversational opportunities this evening. I'm just, as I told you last night, I had to go to Charleston today. And I got back in plenty of time for the program. And so I followed, as I drove down the mountain and back up, I followed the news, trying to see a little of this, a little of that going on, get a sense for what might be grabbing our attention today. And no matter what one has in the way of plans for what a program should be, there's always the possibility in this line of work, if one can call it work, that something will intervene to put things, to upset the apple cart and rearrange things that one was pretty sure one would be talking about. And so it was today, because, it was last night. We had some audio problems, but I finally managed to play it for you. That closed fist of freedom message from Dana Loesch, spokes creep for the National Republican Rifle Association, America's most well-funded and most politically connected domestic terrorist organization. More and more people are seeing their ad, the Closed Fist of Freedom ad, the thing that comes within a batted eyelash of simply telling the NRA membership to lock and load and go to war against anybody with whom they politically disagree. namely anyone who doesn't bow and scrape to Donald Trump, among other things, or protests when the police blow away people who don't need to be killed. And, of course, no one who supports America's most well-financed and most politically well-connected domestic terrorist organization, the NRA, seems to have be raising any issues about the tone that the NRA has adopted. Because, well, they're the NRA, and they're a domestic terrorist organization, so they're going to talk like that. Now, on the other hand, let, say, Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders say that the Republican health care bill is a death warrant for tens of thousands of Americans. Well, then there'll be some member of the GOP tone police out there to say, well, you know, the tone, I don't like your tone. But the tone police, no, that does, I-O-K-I-Y-A-R-N-R-A, right? And it was also the NRA who gave us the idea that the only way to stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. And so the question presents itself, who's more of a good guy with a gun, or who's more of a good guy, generally, good person? I mean, who do we respect? We respect doctors, we respect nurses. You don't exactly think, a doctor is not the first person you think of when you think of someone who is loathed by society. That's more your used car salesman, lawyers, insurance salesman types. And, you know, for some of us, preachers and ministers and reverends and shepherds and brothers and whatnot. So I think we can generally agree that doctors are looked upon with honor, favor, and respect in our society. And if you wanted to talk about a good guy, you'd probably be in pretty good shape talking about a doctor. Well, the doctor was not the good guy today. At Bronx Lebanon Hospital in New York City. No, he was anything but. A family practice physician who had formerly worked at that hospital, and who would have ever thought about doing this, tucked a rifle under a lab coat, went into Bronx Lebanon Hospital, and began to exercise his Second Amendment remedies. Inside the Bronx Lebanon Hospital, Dr. Henry Bellow opened fire. He killed at least one person, he wounded six others, and then decided to save the people of the state of New York the cost of a trial, and shot himself. It all got going about 10 minutes till 3 this afternoon inside Bronx Lebanon Hospital. Police swarmed the area, drew their guns, told people to run and hide. Employees and patients tried to barricade themselves inside various rooms to keep from being blown away. 55-year-old Rinaldo Del Villar, who was in the third floor emergency room getting treatment for a lower back injury, said, "I thought I was going to die." He said he heard an alarm go off. Police said there was an active shooter in the hospital. And someone on a loudspeaker announced, "Code Silver, Code Silver, Code Silver." WVR said, when there's a shooter and you don't know where the shooter is, you don't know what's going to happen. It turned out he was on the 16th and 17th floors. And again, shot six, killed one, and then killed himself. And not to put too fine a point on it, but up until the moment he squeezed the trigger, he was what the NRA considers to be a good guy with a gun. He was a lawful gun owner. And it took only the distance that the trigger must travel, impelled by a finger, which then engages the firing pin and causes it to, and it's a tiny distance, causes it to strike the strike the bullet, the shell casing, causing the bullet to be discharged. It took only that tiny little distance to remove the L from lawful gun owner and leave Dr. Henry Bellow merely another awful gun owner. Marty pointing out, but Bob, the shooter wasn't a good doctor with a gun. Wasn't he a black doctor with a gun? I think that may be the case. And so, I mean, I can't keep up with the NRA's rules on this stuff, Marty. I mean, obviously, Philando Castile was not a good guy with a gun because... Well, he got blown away, even though he didn't threaten the officer, even though he was reaching for his wallet, even though he had a permit to carry concealed. So apparently the rules are somewhat fluid in this particular case. The Associated Press reporting, it was not immediately clear why Bellow was no longer working at the hospital. Officials were not authorized to discuss the still-unfolding investigation and spoke on condition of anonymity. But rest easy, Merca. The police say they have no evidence whatsoever that this was linked to terrorism. That analysis is somewhat problematic because, of course, every criminal act, every shooting death in the United States, every criminal act that is accompanied by a shooting death or a shooting wounding is linked to terrorism. It just happens to be domestic terrorism, because it is terrorism that is advanced, enhanced, and forwarded by the National Rifle Association, who wants everybody in America to have a gun because it's good for gun sales. See, that Iron Fist of Freedom thing had to come out because gun sales are off now that the Kenyan Muslim usurper is no longer in our White House and can't take away our guns. Kind of hard for the National Rifle Association, America's most well-connected, most well-financed domestic terror organization, to argue that the Republican House and the Republican Senate and the Republican President and the Republican Supreme Court are going to take away everybody's guns. So instead, they have to gin up this one step away from a civil war mentality, with which people pay, or for which people pay, you know, with their very lives. Every day in this country. And eventually, no one will be safe. What do I mean eventually? Right now, no one is safe. Because it just so happens that the NRA's death lottery roulette wheel went round and round and round and round and stopped in on a little tab labeled Bronx Lebanon Hospital today. Tomorrow, it could be Op Alabama or Bucksnort Tennessee or Left Hand West Virginia or, you know, your town. There's no way of knowing. More details coming in. Apparently, the doctor tried to set himself on fire. Yeah. Another doctor was among the injured. And that's about all the details we have. Except the part where this is going to happen again and 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 again, because the National Rifle Association, America's most powerful, most politically well-connected, most wealthy domestic terror organization, wills that it be so. Because after all, as the NRA is fond of reminding us, the tree of liberty must be watered from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. It is its natural manure. This is the official 4th of July Independence Day holiday. The 4th falls on the coming Tuesday. And we will this weekend remember the stirring and beautiful words written by Thomas Jefferson, all that stuff about inalienable rights, when in the course of human events, 47 years ago, and call me Ishmael, and sing me, O muse, hear, O Israel. Because Jefferson had a way with words, but when he was working on the fly and just writing a letter about domestic terrorism, I, that its natural manure is not high on Tom Jefferson's greatest hits list. Yes, I've seen a photograph of Dr. Henry Bellow. Asa points out, yep, definitely not a good guy with a gun on account of the white to bear arms. You know, why don't we just correct that little bit of language in the Second Amendment? After all, the Second Amendment to the Constitution is in there, as are other more odious aspects of our the enabling document of our government, as a sop to slavery and slaveholders, and remains to this day a brutal, bloody, and agonizing reminder of that most vile stain upon our national character. I think we should just correct the language in the Second Amendment so that it says the white to bear arms shall not be abridged. Now, in the coming days, we may find out why Dr. Henry Bellow opened fire, or we may not. Maybe we'll find out that he had a house full of books by E.W. Jackson, or E.W. Jackson's sermons, or hell, Rush Limbaugh's, or Hannity's, or Bernard Goldberg, or who knows? Or maybe, God forbid, and I think we would already know by now if the for-profit media had found it, because they sure didn't waste any time over Hodgkinson's preference for Bernie Sanders, putting that out there. Maybe we'll find out that Dr. Henry Bellow was a liberal. Although if he was, one wonders why he had a rifle under his lab coat. Hard to know. But that's the sort of thing that intrudes upon efforts to pull together a program at any other time than minutes before air. Because things started getting interesting early this morning. I thought I had to be up at 4:30 to take the boy to work. But it turned out that his shift got changed to 8 a.m. But I was already up, and you know how it is when you wake up after you've been asleep for 3 or 4 or 5 hours. It's hard to just go, and just go back off and to dreamland. Oh, dreamland. Man, I bet they're working double shifts, making sure the ribs are ready for this weekend down at Dreamland. Now, wait. Yogurt, Bob. Yogurt. But anyway, so I just sort of stuck around and you know what I turned on? At 6 o'clock this morning, that program that I cannot resist watching on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, if I'm up, because there's really not much else to watch. I got a note from Steve in Georgistan saying that if I really wanted to hear some genuine Lulus, that I should change the channel over to Washington Journal. But I don't want to infringe on Todd's gimmick, Good Todd down in South Carolina. He's our Washington Journal correspondent. And if there was anything really woohoo wacky, I'm sure Todd would report. So instead, no, I tuned in over at MSNBC, where they announced that, you know, Joe and Mika were supposed to be on vacation. And they were supposed to start yesterday, but after what broke, they had to cancel their trip up to Boston to see the Red Sox play, Joe's beloved Red Sox. And instead stuck around to respond to what happened yesterday with the bleeding badly from a facelift, blah, blah, blah. Low IQ, crazy Mika, psycho Joe tweets from the guy who's supposed to be the most powerful man on earth, namely the President of the United States. And I got to admit, it was worth tuning in for this morning. Donnie Deutsch started it all out by the camera opened on him wearing a pair of dark glasses, saying that he was wearing them because he'd had a little work done and he was feeling sensitive about it. But then he launched into, and it was refreshing to hear. I admit, it was refreshing to hear. Look, Joe Scarborough is and always will be who Joe Scarborough is. And not exactly somebody that I want to hang out next to the smoker with, or sit next to at a Crimson Tide football game or anything. But he and Mika have found themselves at the swirling center of what may turn out to be a real, live, genuine, honest-to-goodness controversy. But for a minute there, I thought Donnie Deutsch had been listening to the program. If you have, hi, Donnie. How you doing, buddy? Over there at the PayPal, at the Contribute tab, you'll find the PayPal interface. You're not hurting. Just put in 10 grand, would you? Give the folks who carry this network on their backs a little bit of a break. But no, he said, you know how Michelle Obama said, when they go low, we go high? He said, no, not me. I'm going low. I'm going to get right down there with him. And then he said the following of Trump, and you're going to have a hard time not agreeing with this. He said things that are not ordinarily heard on the for-profit media. Yes, it was direct and it was forceful, and one might even say that it was harsh. But it was also rather refreshing because it constituted speaking truth to power. This thing will roll in a minute. I promise. Probably shouldn't promise.
So I'll just say what anyone who's watched even 5 minutes of this show over the last decade already knows. Mika's
Willie
smart,
guys.
She's strong, she makes people in power uncomfortable, and she fears absolutely no one. You'll be reminded of all that when Mika and Joe join us at the top of the hour. Right now, we've got Donnie Deutsch with us. Donnie wearing shades this morning. What's up, man?
I had a little work done, and I'm a little self-conscious about it. So, but
what'd you do? Like a lift?
Just a little eye thing.
A little tuck?
I'm a little sensitive to it. So.
Okay, good. Washington anchor for BBC World News America Caddy Cat. I don't know if the shades stay on the whole show. We'll see. Oh, there you go. Okay. Former Democratic Congressman Harold Ford Jr., former aide to the George W. Bush White House and State Department's Elise Jordan, Pulitzer Prize winning historian, our friend John Meacham in Nashville, and senior politics reporter at USA Today, Heidi Prisbella.
One thing before we go any further, you might find interesting. Elise Jordan person, they used to identify her as former communications director for Rand Paul. now they've quit doing that. Now they identify her as a former communications person for the George W. Bush White House. I guess maybe the Rand Paul thing wasn't proving to be quite the sterling recommendation that it was expected. No, it's not carrying that much water, no.
There are a number of factual inaccuracies, Caddy, in the tweets that Donald Trump put out. Joe and Mika have posted an op-ed to the Washington Post. People can read that ahead of them joining us in just a few minutes on this show. Just your initial reaction to what you saw yesterday from the president.
It's really hard to see this as anything other than sexist and vicious. He was incredibly personal. He used the office of the presidency to launch an attack against a television anchor who every morning does her job. And he did it in a way that was vindictive and bullying. And it's very hard. Even Republicans, I think, would agree with exactly everything I've just said, most of them. It's very hard to conclude anything else because it shows us an awful lot about his temperament and the way he criticizes those who and goes after people who he feels are critical of him.
Donna, you've been critical of a guy you've known for a long time in Donald Trump, now President Trump. Were you surprised by what you saw yesterday?
No. First of all, you know, he picked the wrong schoolyard to come into. I have to tell you this. So, you know, I'm not an employee of NBC, so I'm going to go thug here, okay? I'm sorry, because Mika's a friend of ours. She's a good woman. She's a great mom. And he's a pig. He's a vulgar pig. And I find what's ironic about, you know, Michelle Obama says when they go high, we go, and when they go low, we go. When he goes low, I'm going low. You guys will take the high road. I'm going to take the low road. He's physically disgusting to look at. I mean, that's what I find ironic about the way he starts to always go after other people's physical attributes. So beyond the fact that he's obviously not well, and Joe and Mika have a great comment, he's clearly, forget, obviously, the obvious misogynism, the obvious vulgarity, the obvious stupidity. He's not mentally okay. And this is a man with nuclear codes. We have to start paying attention to it. And he's disgusting to look at. I know everybody's going to say,
irrelevant.
Donnie.
But
no.
On so many levels.
No. Let me tell you why it's not irrelevant. Because enough is enough. Enough is enough with this disgusting, vulgar man. And to talk about women that way, and the irony is that I can't. You physically look like you do beyond the stupidity of it. You're a pig. You are a bully, and you are doing disgusting things to this country.
But Donnie, doesn't it lower again?
Oh, good. Little Willie Geist is going to worry about lowering something.
Yes,
I'm forced to say
for me,
what you
yes.
said about his physical appearance.
You know what? It absolutely does. And maybe it's time that we all stop tippy-toeing. I'm taking the low ground here. You know what? He goes after a woman that way. He goes after a friend that way. He is a vulgar human being. He's vulgar to look at. He's disgusting the way he behaves himself as the president. And I'm sorry. I probably won't be on the show again, but I'm sorry.
You know what? If it turns out he's not on the program again, and I'll get tweets, you know, God damn it, Donnie Deutsch. Blah, 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 blah. You give credit to people when they get something right. And Donnie Deutsch got something right this morning. I've never done this before. I've just awarded a cowbell to Donnie Deutsch of the for-profit media. If Phil Griffin, for some reason, passes down the word that Donnie Deutsch will not be allowed on MSNBC's air again, that'll be a poor reflection on Phil Griffin, not on Donnie Deutsch. Because the fact of the matter is, he said something, he said things that desperately need to be said, especially, you know, I don't need to hear that. You don't need to hear that. You know that every word he just said is both true and overdue. The for-profit media have been dancing around, tiptoeing around, walking on eggshells, doing everything they possibly can to explain away the fact that there is a monstrosity in inhabiting, occupying 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. A misanthrope, if you will. And there is value in his saying what he said. Again, not for you, not for me, not for we, us. We're already awake in the nightmare. But Emory and Marveline aren't necessarily. And the nice, well-heeled limousine types who know which fork to use with the shrimp and that little tiny spoon is what you go after the caviar with, they need to hear this. The Republicans out there in government need to hear this. Because he finally got around to saying something that a lot of us already knew, but has been largely suppressed and limited to media outlets like this one that, you know, struggles to stay on the air. Well, there's no struggle over at MSNBC. They can do this. And it proceeded like this onward. He referenced the fact that Donald Trump is disgusting to behold, you know, because he is. The fake spray tans, the orange complexion, the weird-ass comb-over. The bizarre behaviors and the hand gestures. But as the program proceeded, they began to talk about substantive things. They began to actually talk about his fitness to perform the duties of the office. They had Eugene Robinson from the Washington Post, who I'm sure is far from sufficiently ideologically pure, but who also used the kind of language that comes from the 25th Amendment. And that was surprising. And I dare say, encouraging. Because if this country is to survive, and that's where we are, we've been talking about it here for months. The for-profit media are always a little oslay on the uptake, eh? But they're finally coming around to it. And by the way, note coming in from Scott in San Diego with his little feathered pal, Punky the Cockatiel, who looks even sillier than Tucker Carlson does in a bow tie. Scott says it's pretty rich that Willie Geist attempted to take the high road with his "doesn't it lower the dialogue" comment to Donnie Deutsch. I remember when little Willie was Tucker Carlson's sidekick about a decade ago, when little Tucker mercifully briefly had his own program on MSNBC. Yeah. But the value here, and admittedly, they pulled up short. They couldn't say the magic words. Nobody on that panel could bring themselves to say the 25th Amendment. Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. They couldn't say it. But unless this is just a one-off that goes away with the holiday weekend, then maybe it's the beginning of something. Maybe. because it's important to remember with regard to the 25th Amendment that it isn't just all put on the cabinet. We're a long way from anybody in the cabinet being ready to sign off on the letter, say, letter to Congress that says the president is incapable of performing the duties of his office. But the 25th Amendment also provides a means by which, well, let's just call up the language, shall we? We've done this before, but you'd be surprised how much of America has no idea what we're talking about here. Section 4 of the 25th Amendment reads, "Whenever the Vice President and a majority of either the principal officers of the executive departments or of such other body as Congress may by law provide, transmit to the President pro tempore of the Senate and the Speaker of the House of Representatives their written declaration that the President is unable to discharge the powers and duties of his office, the Vice President shall immediately assume the powers and duties of the acting President." Okay? And then it sets forth the rest of the process. Thereafter, when the President transmits to the President pro tempore of the Senate and the Speaker of the House of Representatives his written declaration that no inability exists, he shall resume the powers and duties of his office unless the Vice President and a majority of either the principal officers of the Executive Department or of such other body as Congress may by law provide transmit within 4 days to the President pro tempore of the Senate and the Speaker of the House and Representatives their written declaration that the President is unable to discharge the powers and duties of his office. Thereupon, Congress shall decide the issue. Okay? But it's back up in that first paragraph where the potential is. Whenever the Vice President and a majority of either the principal officers of the executive departments or of such other body as Congress may by law provide. That means it does not have to be the cabinet. Okay? That means that the Congress itself can take this matter into its own hands. And this is one of those moments of legislative procedure that can get a little bit arcane, but really is fascinating and worthy of study. Because it presumes that the Congress, by law, can provide some other body shall determine whether or not the president is unable to fulfill the duties of his office. Unable to discharge the powers and duties of his office. That's the official language. So that would mean the House would pass something, then the Senate would pass something, and it would have to go to the president for his signature. So in order for Congress to be able to act on the 25th Amendment, the president would have to sign the bill into law or veto it, and the bill would have to have been passed with such numbers that the veto could be overridden. We're talking long shot politics here. But as compared with seeing this government completely fall to pieces, I'll take the long shot every day. And so it was that perhaps a door got opened this morning. Because it wasn't just Donnie Deutsch. Eugene Robinson mentioned it. John Meacham mentioned it. Everyone on that panel seemed to want to engage in the little tap dance around actually saying 25th Amendment. But to someone who like us knows what's there, it didn't necessarily have to be said. The next step, however, will be to begin saying 25th Amendment. But it may just be the beginning of a national discussion. And there may just be, you know, there's been a lot of Republican deploring of that tweet, those tweets. Oh, they've deplored. Well, deploring is not enough. That just means that he's deplorable. And we kind of knew that all along. And I don't think being deplorable is sufficient to declare the president unable to fulfill the duties and powers and duties of his office. The man needs to be hospitalized and thoroughly, forensically examined. Because if he responds this way, and this point was made this morning, if he responds this way to being criticized on a television program, Jesus God, how's he going to respond when the stakes are life and death or the possibility of a nuclear exchange? And it got even more interesting. Because at the top of the 7 o'clock hour, Joe and Mika showed up to tell their side of the story. Mika said, yes, I'd had my chin tweaked, but it wasn't like she was bleeding to death. Donald Trump has an obsession with blood, and with women and blood, but he has a blood obsession. Like I said, back during the inaugural, everybody else focused on American, the phrase American carnage. It was the creepiest inaugural address ever given. But I latched on to his declaration, "We all bleed." What was the whole sentence? We all bleed the same red blood or something like that. Which, again, was a bizarre thing to have inside an inaugural address. He likes to talk about blood. But he also has weird hang-ups with women. I don't know if he saw his mama naked once when he was 5 years old or if he was potty trained at gunpoint. Who knows? But he has weird obsessions relative to the female half of the species. And so just so you'll know, when Joe and Mika showed up, they told a story about being blackmailed. And they just, you know, told it like they'd tell the story of, you know, going to the movie the night before. Of the National Enquirer, whose editor, publisher, owner, whatever, is a crony of Trump's. Threatening them with some sort of damning story. And harassing Mika's kids, her ex-husband, surveilling Joe. And again, these are celebrity millionaires, okay? I'm not going to shed a bunch of alligator tears. It's what comes next. The White House then contacts Joe Scarborough and says, listen, if you'll just call him and say you're sorry, he'll make the damaging story go away. Interestingly, the United States Code has something on point here. 18 U.S. Code, Section 872. Whoever, being an officer or employee of the United States or any department or agency thereof, or representing himself to be or assuming to act as such under color or pretense of office or employment, commits or attempts an act of extortion, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 3 years or both, but if the amount so extorted or demanded does not exceed $1,000, he shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 1 year or both. Property does not necessarily have to mean cash money. It can mean, in an era of intellectual property, things like reputations and goodwill. It's nothing at all, say, if a business is being sold from by one party to another, that you sell the goodwill of the business. And here's where it gets even freaking weirder. Trump himself may actually have, you know, accidentally confessed it. Really? Because after the story came out today, he tweeted. Watched Low Rated at Morning Joe for first time in a long time. Fake news. He called me to stop a National Enquirer article. I said no. Bad show. Then Scarborough tweeted back and said, I have texts from your top aides and phone records. Those records show I haven't spoken with you in many months. Why do you keep lying about things that are so easily disproven? What is wrong with you? So he sort of acknowledged that he had the power to make the National Enquirer back off of a story, to spike a story. Can I just point out that if Barack Obama had done any of these things, it wouldn't have taken a New York second to convene the impeachment hearing. No time flat. This would have been one of the articles of impeachment against Bill Clinton, almost without saying. This is only getting more interesting and more dire. And here in a moment, we'll find out what you think. Because conversation is the heart of conversation radio. And as I mentioned, it's Friday on the front porch. So send your contact request to Sparky Dunk, S-P-A-R-K-Y-D-U-N-C, on Skype. Or, like I said, we've got one phone line you can use. And that is 304-663-4676. 304-663-HORN. Ralphs, I'm going to need a little bit of clarification from you, because I don't. Ralphs has a challenge. I'm offering a first of the month goes, cheese pronunciation goal challenge, of $50 on the first broadcast day. Thanks, Ralphs. We are. I don't know if that's for tonight or for Monday or help me here. But any way you slice it, we've got $475 to raise this evening. We are at zero for the evening in our effort to finish the month to the good. And it is, well, it's important that we finish the month at our goal. So if you want to, run on over to headonradionetwork.com, click on the Contribute tab, and like I said, I'd love to see some new names helping to shoulder the load, keeping this program going. Brother Deacon Asa says, convene an impeachment hearing? Barack Obama's head would have been paraded atop a spear down Pennsylvania Avenue if he'd done anything remotely resembling any of this. And I guess that's the ultimate point. This is a moment when we find out if the Constitution of the United... Well, this is a moment when we find out if the oath to the Constitution taken by every member of Congress, including the Republicans, means anything to those Republicans. If they simply put out a bunch of pearl-clutching, hand-wringing tweets and say, my, oh, my, this is just awful, it's awful, Lindsey Graham disappears back under the fainting couch down at the old ancestral estate of smoldering chode, well, then, no, the constitutional oath doesn't mean squat. If it does, they will start taking steps leading toward the removal of a man who has obviously taken leave of his senses from the office of the President of the United States of America. It's time for Friday on the Front Porch. Time to convene the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. Hope you'll join in. Hope you'll be a part. I'm Bob Kincaid. Magnificent noise from Pete Townsend, some of his solo work, Give Blood. And it is the it's 9 minutes past the hour here on Friday on the front porch on the final day of the month of June 2017. And it's time to fire up the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. We've got, let's see, I think we've got Charlie over on the stress line. Are you there, Charlie?
Yeah, I called in on the stress line. I'm driving the car right now, and Skype doesn't work very well whenever I'm driving. I don't know. It seems to generate a lot of background noise and all that.
Well, you sound real good as it is. Okay, so we got you there, Charlie. Hey, Sparky, you over there with the rest of the group?
Yeah, but you're coming in real low, Bob.
That's real weird. Let's see here. Hold on.
That's a thing now, isn't it? Going low?
That's what I've heard. Okay, one more. Is that a little better?
A little bit.
Oh, wait a minute. Is that better?
Yes, that's way better.
Okay, cool. Just a little tweaking, a little tweaking.
Guess was that what I was snacking on before the show?
I can now see perfectly, Dr. Kincaid, the optometrist doctor.
Almonds, pistachios?
Tomatoes.
Oh.
So I got my tomatoes by the 4th of July once again.
Once again. Nice and salty?
Yeah, I put a little salt on them.
Got to. Tart and tangy and juicy. Oh, no.
They can only get better. These were the first ones. They looked right. But they can only get better. It's more heat they get.
Oh, yeah.
96 degrees today.
Ooh. That's some tomato-loving weather. So just straight-up tomato?
Yeah, just out of the. I like them cold out of the refrigerator.
I like them warm right off the vine. Just knock the dust off, rinse the dust off, hold the salt shaker there, and eat them like an apple.
Yeah, I just dusted them the other day. I had my stepson help me. hold the blower up and pour the dust into the blower and blow it on.
Oh, what, seven?
I don't know what it is. It's stuff my mom and dad bought years and years ago, a big old bag of it. All I know is it's tomato dust.
Oh, look, Brain popped into the chat room.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, time for him to go bye-bye.
Bye, Brain.
There goes Brain.
Good work, Bob.
Yeah, well, I can use the lightsaber, too.
Well, I did it, too.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe... I don't know how you... Okay, cool. So we slashed him with two lightsabers. That'll learn him.
Somebody was mixing a drink, and I heard creaking screen doors, and I was getting thirsty.
That was my chair.
Yeah. That one.
You know what? We need to record that. That's a downright front porchy kind of sound, Sparky.
Go get him a bottle of WD-40 or something, man.
Well, it's out in the shop. I can go get it.
That's what the door of our old outhouse over in Frankfort, West Virginia used to sound like.
Oh, the one with the crescent moon carved in the door?
No, we weren't upscale. It was just your basic bat and barn door.
No spring on it?
Nope. Just a couple of rusty hinges. And a pull handle from the inside with a hook on it. And a handle and a hook on the outside.
If it works.
Well, I must say, Bob, I'm enjoying living in Canada.
right now, yeah.
Yeah. I got an extra special reason for enjoying it, though.
Do tell.
Tomorrow is Canada Day.
Is it really?
That's our national day, sort of like the 4th of July, but a little more muted. But there's going to be 500,000 people on Parliament Hill tomorrow evening, all day long and into the evening. And I'm guessing that's about twice the size of Trump's inauguration crowd.
I'd say you're probably right. What? Will there be like barbecued maple leaves or, I mean?
Oh, no. We got all kinds of musical groups and a few speakers, and Prince Charles and Camilla are in town, and it's just your basic whoop-de-doo. And they got a fireworks display that's costing $215,000. Goes off at 11 o'clock tomorrow night. And they're predicting thunderstorms all day, just like today and yesterday and the 2 weeks before that.
Really? It's monsoon season in the Great White North now?
Yeah, we've had more rain here in the last 3 months than they've recorded in that 3 month period since 1931.
And that's about when they started recording it in the first place, right?
Well, no, but we had ciphering books to keep track of it up until then. But right now it's rained for 16 straight days and more again tomorrow.
Wouldn't it be great if everyone said with
not steady rain, just thunderstorms?
Earn 1% cash back when you
buy a hailstorm come through the other day.
Okay, I don't know where that audio was coming from. Are y'all still there?
Not me. Yep, I'm here.
Okay, sorry. I just had a bunch of autoplay audio that should not have come from any. There's nothing here. Anybody have audio up? I see Haley has joined us.
Oh, hello. I don't know how y'all are hearing me tonight, but it's been a while since I've come in Friday on the front porch.
You're usually working, aren't you?
I'm usually at work, or a lot of times if I'm at home, I'll just listen and just, you know, lap on the couch a little bit and listen to y'all. But it's been an interesting week here in Arkansas. We've had lots of rain. We had the little, last week we had the tropical storm come in June. And then, of course, Tuesday was, I'm trying to remember what day it was. Wednesday was when the Ten Commandments monument got run over.
That was a heck of a story. Is he still in jail waiting bail, or did he ever make bail?
Well, here's the latest. He didn't make bail. He decided he was going to represent himself, despite the public defender's urgings not to. But he's got a public defender now. But he's got an interesting history. He's come out of a fundamentalist, charismatic background. He was still espousing a lot of that dogma. He was. I went and took a look at his open Facebook page a couple of days ago, and you talk about some just absolute lunacy.
Well, I mean, you mean more than the average fundamentalist, evangelical, garden variety?
Well, yes. He was talking about how America was Mystery Babylon, and then he was responding to somebody else's post about abortion, and went on about four or five different paragraphs, rant, and different posts on abortion, and of course he is again it.
Naturally.
And, of course, the not-so-surprising news is that the all the fundamentalists in state government have not been braying about since they found out that the guy was just, you know, I don't know if you saw him crazy or sociopath or criminal or what. But they can't hang the liberal tag on him or the atheist tag on him.
They'll hang the crazy tag on him.
They're hanging the crazy tag on him, and then he's playing. Apparently, he's playing it up. He played it up in court yesterday.
What, did he wear a clown suit or something, or did he start preaching, speaking in tongues?
No, he was just ranting. I didn't watch any TV last night. Let me go find some articles, if I can look a little bit more up on it.
I think he wore like a crazy orange wig, is my understanding, with a spray tan, but I'm not sure.
Hey, Billable Rick, what's happening?
Hey, doing okay, man. Sort of waiting for the birthday celebration. We tend to have, it's my boss's birthday tomorrow, so we'll have a chocolate cake here in a little bit. So, just kind of getting ready for the 4th. I'm going to go on a colleague of mine has a boat, and we're going to have a party on the boat, like 25 people. And
it's a hell of a boat.
Yeah, down at the Marina Del Rey. And we'll party in the slip, and then, you know, around nightfall we'll push off to go into the water and, you know, watch the fireworks from the water. So it should be fun.
Oh, that'll be very cool.
Yeah.
Not very sharky around there, is it?
You know, there have been actually a lot of great whites in Southern Cal the last couple of months. So yeah, probably not so much in the marina itself, you know. But like, if you go out into the ocean proper, yeah, there's been a lot of sharks. But it should be fun. Just kind of.
Well, be careful. We don't want to see any quotes in the LA Times saying this is not a boating accident.
Yeah. No, I don't think we'll have any boating accidents. I'm sure the skipper will be totally sober. You know. So I guess it's going to be, I guess, drink and music and all sorts of stuff, all sorts of decadent stuff on the boat. So it should be a lot of fun.
Sounds like.
Yeah. Really,
it's supposed to rain here, of course. My 4th of July weekend plans for more weed eating and mowing, it looks like they're going to take it on the chin.
Bummer.
One of these days, I'll get a new smoker, and even if I don't get to eat it, I get to sit in the basket and smoke and hold a cup of plain yogurt near it, and get some hickory smoke barbecue.
You get like a contact high from the hickory smoke, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you hear the little drip, drip, drip of the liquefying fat hitting the drip pan there.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, that'll be good. That'll be good. Yeah, kind of like the contact high I got at the Tom Petty concert, the music festival over the weekend. That was great in Pasadena. John Mayall is a wonderful British blues man.
Iconic, even.
Yeah, he's played with Eric Clapton.
Actually, Eric Clapton played with him.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, Eric Clapton played with him. That guy's like 83 years old, 83, 84 years old. And he sounds great. I got to like stand right on the front row to listen to a few of his songs until I got too hot from standing in the sun. But the guy's incredible, you know. And then Petty is tremendous. I mean, we got pretty close to the front as well, and got some good video and some good pictures. And I'm seeing Petty again for his last tour of his 40th anniversary show, which is going to be his last show is going to be at the Hollywood Bowl on September 21st. So I just got tickets like yesterday for that. So the guy is like, I think the reason he's so good live is that's how he started out his band. He started out as a live band as opposed to, certain musicians who start out as studio musicians, and then they try to translate it into a live show, and it doesn't always go so well,
Yeah.
Rick, I should mention, I saw a double bill at a place in Georgetown, D.C., of John Mayall.
Oh.
Followed by Etta Fitzgerald.
Oh, my God. Wow.
$10 cover charge. And the place only held maybe 150 people.
Wow.
And I looked around it even while I was there going, okay, this is one of those moments I really should remember for the rest of my life.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Wow. It was just a real small venue?
Yep. A place called Blues Alley. It's a jazz club.
And, okay.
That was back in 1980, I would guess, maybe 82, something like that, long time ago.
Wow.
But
wow.
Hell of a show. It started at 7:30, and they were still playing music at midnight.
You know, the thing that amazes me about Mayall is that he'll, like, play the harmonica, he'll be playing the keyboards, and he'll, like, somehow almost be singing all at the same time.
Yeah.
The guy, like, is a total multitasker, Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. And he's still got his voice. I mean, some people lose their voice. Like I saw America the night before at a small club, and I think Jerry, whatever his name is, needs to hang it up. Either that or he had a cold. It didn't sound like it, Dewey, the guy with the long blonde hair, as you might remember, he sounds great still, but the other guy just doesn't, his voice is weak, just doesn't project that well.
I have body parts like that.
Well, yeah, it's a function of age, I guess, for some people. Of course, you can always get a little bit of a pharmaceutical assist if you need it, right?
Yeah, I won't say it's free in Canada with socialized medicine, but it's
near enough.
Hell of a lot less.
So
don't tell us how to buy our Viagra, Ron. Come on.
I won't. No.
Let's run back over and check in with Charlie real quick over on the stress line. Anything, any burrs under your saddle or bees in your bonnets, Charlie? Charlie? Well, I know we're connected. Oh, well. Okay. I noticed that Les is with us. Hey, Les. Bueller?
Hey, Bob.
There you are.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry about that. I was trying to put Waze and Skype on my screen and split screen, and I couldn't get to the mute button fast enough.
No worries. What's happening?
Holiday traffic. Sitting in it.
Oh, really?
Okay. Can you hear me now, Bob?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's Charlie. Stand by for a minute. I'll come back to you, Charlie.
Okay.
Hey. Something's been on my mind, and I hate to, like, bring down the mood of the conversation.
No, right, man. Go where the spirit moves you.
Okay. I think we're looking at Donald Trump and Trump administration and this time all wrong. I think we're looking at this as something that can be repaired, impeachment, 25th Amendment. There's a certain point where you do so much damage, you can't repair it anymore. And, well, I'll put it as the headline. I think the headline of this whole situation is America is on its way down. And it's just a matter of which one of the methods is going to be used to take us down. And I'm not talking war or ICBMs. I'm talking economic collapse. It's going to happen.
Isn't it going to take a little doing to make that happen, Les?
Yeah, well, that's the thing I've been thinking about.
Shit got pretty real back with the last meltdown. And yet, because of, you know, reasonably prudent behavior, it was stopped. It you know, total meltdown was stopped. Core on the floor meltdown was stopped. Middle America, you know, it took it on the chin, and of course that's where we got the economic. Wait a minute, economic anxiety that so thrills.
You almost sound like FDR when you say it that way.
that so thrills the for-profit media. And of course, that meltdown was brought on by the economic policies of the Bush administration.
Mm-hmm.
But it more or less got stopped. Now, granted, Willard Romney said that he wanted in 2012 he would have let the auto industry completely collapse, which would have taken a big chunk of the economy with it. A lot of people wanted to let the Wall Street banks burn to the ground, but instead, you know, that we let a different sector of the American economy burn, namely people trying to, you know, keep roofs over their heads. What scenario is it that makes you think economic collapse is coming?
Okay, I remember back when Bush was reselected, and a British newspaper put out a front cover that said, how could 53 million people be so damn stupid?
Be so stupid, exactly.
Yep. I added the damn in there for effect. But I look at that situation like this. The world was looking at us as they always do. They look at all of us as our political leaders. Wherever our political leader is at a time, that's how we're judged around the world. And when Bush was in office, the world was looking at us like we're crazy, but then they also said to themselves, okay, this is a crazy period and it'll pass. And we got Barack Obama, and all of a sudden the world started looking at us favorably again. Now we got this guy. Now, it's kind of like a drug addict that cleans himself up, and then, you know, goes back into the shit, and then cleans himself up and goes back. Later, you just stop trusting that they'll ever stay clean. And I think the world has gotten to that point with us. It doesn't matter if there's another Barack Obama in the winds behind Trump. The world is going to remember every time we go up, we come right back down to the basement, and we go lower into the basement each time than we did the first time. So I think the world, and here's where I get to the economic collapse part. You know, I was talking to Rick about this a couple Fridays on the French porch ago after it was over. I think the world is ready to move past. They've made all the moves to move past us. Our World Bank can't threaten them no more. They got the BRICS Bank with Brazil, Russia. I forgot what the I was for.
India and China.
India, right? India and China. It's headquartered in Shanghai.
Hmm.
Right? And I was looking into this a little bit. It occurred to me, they've been making a long-term preparation for the destruction of America. The same way Charlie Wilson's war was a long-term preparation for the destruction of Soviet Russia. And it could happen as easy as this. Change the instrument on which they trade oil from the dollar to the yen, and we're done.
You mean the yuan?
What?
The Chinese?
The yuan. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
The yen is the Japanese, right?
Right.
Right. Okay. The yuan. If that happens, America is done. And I look at this not as, okay, Putin wants to get sanctions lifted. No, Putin wants to drill United States into the dirt the same way we did to Soviet Russia when he was the head of the KGB.
There's only one wrinkle.
Mm-hmm.
The yuan is pegged to the dollar.
Yuan is pegged to the dollar. Okay.
At least that's my understanding.
May I add something?
The whole thing.
Go, Steve.
I don't know if this is kind of breaking news, but it's roughly 6 or 8 hours old. Russia has bought a terrestrial radio station in Washington, D.C.
Hmm.
I can't remember the call letters, but I've got it here somewhere.
Gosh, since when are they allowed to do that?
I've got it here.
I mean, they are. They're allowed, but, you know, gosh, I wonder why.
Hmm.
I'm going to post it in the chat room, and I'll also post it here.
I heard that there was a law that I think it was an executive order that, or no, it was an FEC order. The FCC, regulates communications. I think they have now allowed, they changed the rules to allow foreign interests to buy radio stations in February of this year. So it was one of the things that Trump was, I'm sure, Trump's handlers were telling him he needed to do, the Russian handlers, that is, of Trump. So, and I guess it's a country music station that's been taken over. One of the guests on Randy Rhoads' show talked about that. Basically, I guess they're trying to appeal to the Trump-like voters by buying that station, you know, use that to program their brains, I suppose.
They're probably looking to try to program more people because the Trump people are already Trump people. They're in the bag already. They're trying to pull more to the side.
You know, you start with one and you build yourself a little network and eventually get it. Because, see, I know, and I want to be clear about this. I completely and fully understand that Vladimir Putin is a cute, snuggly, wonderful, loving, cuddly, plush, huggable, charming, graceful, Renaissance man of a teddy bear. I understand that. But that having been said, he might have an interest in having some sort of a propaganda outlet when more and more of this evidence of his country's finagling inside our domestic election processes begins to mount.
But what balls to buy out a radio station in our nation's capital?
That balls,
and
really?
We let it happen? What the fuck?
What out a president? What's the difference of a radio station?
Yeah, I guess that's a good point, friend. But all right, tossing it back to you guys. Sorry to interrupt.
That's okay. That's okay.
Hey, no problem.
And I lost Charlie. I'm sorry about that. Maybe he'll call
back. I just want to add into something. I'm sorry, Bob.
No, that's okay. It's okay. Go ahead, Les.
Back to the whole original point. I was listening to Hartman this is probably about 6 months back, and he had a Professor Cohen on. This Professor Cohen, I guess they tied him up as a Russia expert. But now, I don't know if Putin actually said this, but it makes sense. He said, anybody, quote Putin, anybody who doesn't long for the days of the old Soviet Union has no heart. Anybody who thinks we can rebuild the old Soviet Union has no brain, end quote. But the thing that sticks out to me in that phrase is the word old. I think Putin is building a new Soviet Union. Maybe not with the word Soviet, but a new era where Russia is on top. And the only way for that to happen is we have to be gone. And the only way to get rid of us without mutually assured destruction is just to make sure that this country drills itself into the dirt. And then we could spend 30 to 40 years or 20 or 30 years, you know, the way the Russians did after the Soviet Union collapse. Like, we're really heading for stall speed, and nobody is adding power or pushing forward on the stick. And honestly, I think this is all part of the long-term plan. They set up the BRICS Bank in 2014. You know, thanks to GWB, we're like, what, $1 trillion in debt to China on war bonds or whatever the number is astronomical. And when the war on terror finally comes to an end, we got to pay that. So that's another way. At the flip of a switch, we go down. And I just find
with a somewhat dissenting view, Steve in China writes,
please talk me out of this. I want somebody to tell me I'm wrong.
New and improved tyranny. Steve in China says, I'm a little confused. As long as people keep paying their taxes like good little lemmings, and as long as they keep living on plastic credit, and as long as the national debt keeps climbing to gazillion dollars, what's going to change? The super wealthy hold their assets by force alone, with perhaps a little immortality or inheritance thrown in for good measure. I don't know. I don't know how to say this, and I'm not trying to be disagreeable in disagreeing, Les.
Mm-hmm.
I've been hearing this for too long. The United States had a long history, to the extent that it had a history. The history of the United States, almost from jump, was a history of economic panics, depressions, crashes, up until the Great Depression, when the whole idea, the whole regulatory scheme was put into place to try to be able to prevent that from happening. And while we've had some significant downturns, remember, George H.W. Bush had his own, and then his son had one. But they never rivaled the effects of some of the panics and depressions. We only remember the Great Depression, but the fact of the matter is this country got economically crushed time after time after time, almost on a generational basis. And supposedly we have the firewalls in place to prevent that from happening. And I know that you can turn any number of places in the media world, and you can find somebody who's saying, the end is near. The end is near. But, and this is not to say it can't happen, but a lot of things have to happen at once to really bring on catastrophic economic failure in this country. Because we can't, the Republicans like to holler, oh my God, the Kenyan Muslim usurper's going to turn us into Greece. Remember that?
Yep.
Well, we can't be Greece because we get to print our own money. Now, we can be affected by inflation or deflation, but we print our own money. And it is the very stability of the United States government over the years that has made us the economic force that we are. It's the fact that we don't have, you know, we don't have nasty little blood running in the streets coups all the time. It's the fact that we, you know, we spend as much as we do on our defense budget to shore up the economic activity on a global basis. So I just don't see it, Les. And I guess it's time for me to say something here. I question, and I'll get shit for this. I'll also get a few amens and hallelujahs too, because very few people are willing to say this. I don't know why. I am not particularly willing to give great credence to anybody whose program is sponsored by skeevy Russian billionaires and a sketchy Russian website. If you're taking the coin, you're doing the bidding. Plain and simple. And I don't think I have to say any more than that.
I got you. And I'll say this real quick, and then I'll get off of here, and I'll let somebody else have a turn. Yeah, I didn't really want to give too much credence to where I got that from, but it was the phrase itself. It made me start to put, like, you know, there's like these all these separate little things, and then you start to put them together, and they start to form a story. And we're a very microwave society. Everything is instant, you know, and we've 24-hour news cycle, and we forget about it. But around the world, it seems like they do long-term planning. So I'm wondering if these pieces of the story have been coming together for years and nobody's paying attention to it, but they're all starting to stack up now.
I mean, look, I remember the project for a new American century. Mm-hmm. And the premise to that, with all of those right-wing, bloodthirsty weirdos, was that we needed to make sure that America was as dominant in the 21st as it had been in the 20th, okay? And that being the case, what they were saying was that, you know, we needed to flex our military muscle, blah blah blah, a bunch of bloody bullshit. But there is a new reality, and that new reality is an invigorated China, the growth of countries like Brazil and India.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other sides to those coins in the case of particularly India and China. That's two countries with tons of people, and neither country can feed itself. That's important.
Okay.
On the one hand, it can make them dangerous. On the other hand, it can make them cautious. Neither one of those countries, for all of its economic might, can feed itself. And nothing destabilizes a government quite like hunger. China is doing all that it can to rectify those situations. China is doing more with its infrastructure now than the United States by a long shot. They're installing solar and wind power for all they're worth. But in the final analysis, they are also still dependent upon Western industry. Those vast city-sized industrial campuses that make all of our little gizmos have to have the capital of the West in order to be successful. I mean, there's a reason, for instance, that China, and we don't talk about a lot of it here because it doesn't touch us, but China is building the second Great Silk Road. And it runs from China straight to Germany. And the EU is deadly in earnest about it. And some of that has to do with the fact that we are not necessarily a good faith partner anymore in the age of Trump.
That's what I'm saying.
What these fool Republicans don't understand is that their desire to protect him in order to, as they perceive it, protect their own power may wind up significantly diminishing ours overall. I mean, look, at 350 million people, we're a rounding error to the Chinese population. And very nearly one to the Indian population. We exert force disproportionate to our size based on our consumption. You know, even though there's a whole lot less of us than there is of China, we are still the country where you want to sell your goods. You're building a car, you want to sell it here. You know, anything you're selling, you want to sell it in the United States because there are people with the purchasing power to buy it. Now, if that goes away, everything changes.
That's becoming less the case, though, I think, Bob.
Right, because Europe is still all of Europe could out-purchase and out-consume us. Like, they don't really need us.
Plus, you know, the middle class has taken a hit ever since Reagan. I mean, our real wages have pretty much remained steady, like, since, what, the 80s?
Well, the purchasing power of a minimum wage has gone through the floor from 1960 to now. There's no getting around that. I'm not gainsaying the idea of economic inequality. And I don't think it would be wise for us to rest on our laurels. And frankly, if we actually raise wages in this country, purchasing power goes up. And that's a good thing for the people who make. Are there any American televisions? You have to really bust your ass to find a set of American tires to put on your car.
I got Chinese tires on the truck right now.
I don't think there's been an American television made in this for at least like 20 years, Bob. You know?
How about an American computer?
Dell used to be, and I know that for a while there was.
Yeah, they might assemble them in the United States, but the motherboards weren't built here.
Yeah.
The RAM wasn't built here.
Gateway was, but then it got sold out to Acer.
Right, Gateway was what I was thinking. Yeah.
Yeah, the Cal computer. Yeah. Right, yeah. but I mean, I don't see that as imminent. But what I do see is it's not a matter of it being an imminent. It's here. It's on us. This is a constitutional crisis. And with the billionaires out there hooting and hollering for a balance for an Article 5 convention of the states, there's risk and there's danger.
Yeah, I don't. Before we even get to that part, with the which is scary enough, that constitutional convention thing, but I think every time Trump does something more stupid, which is by the hour now, it kind of hastens up the clock for this all to happen. Because if Trump gets pulled out of power, how is Putin going to operate this scheme? So if Trump is getting close to the edge of getting snatched out of the presidency, the whole plan might have to be sped up and activated while they still got a chance.
And that's where the question of what is, you know, what's Putin's goal in meddling around in the economic system? Yeah, I'm sure he would.
I'm sure he'd love to lift the oil embargo.
I'm sure he'd love to. Well, I think that's a big part of it. The sanctions. It's not an embargo as such. Yeah. It's just sanctions. And that's why Rexxon Tillerson is at the State Department. Because Rexxon Tillerson's going to make a fortune if those sanctions get lifted.
Yeah.
But, you know, Putin would like to have the exertional force of the Soviet Union again and bring all those satellite states back in that used to make up the so-called Warsaw Pact.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, however, you know, I don't think he wants to be president of the United States. What he wants to do, and what has been made clear about the purpose of the finagling, was to diminish the confidence of the American people in their ability to have a government that they knew they elected. Okay, when Donald Trump, before the election, started spouting that stuff about, well, if I lose, it's because it's rigged. The whole thing's rigged. That was straight. That was a Putin script. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that if you're paying attention, you find out that we're being told, yeah, they meddled, and we're finding out more and more how much they meddled. Jesus, they invaded voter registration rolls. No, they didn't flip any votes that we know of, but they started capturing voter lists.
Yeah.
Okay, if you can do that, you can take people off the rolls. If you follow Greg Palast, you know that people
now Chris Kobach wants every Secretary of State from all 50 states to send him information. That's a new thing I'm listening to today.
Yeah, that
about all the voter roll information.
And he wants it to be turned in on an unsecured server.
So that way Russia could take it all. So basically, what they couldn't do the last election, they're going to do in the next one. And
well, did you hear the one intel official say they were here and yes, they will be back?
Yep. Be back? They never left. They're still here. That's what I'm saying. Like, there's so many, and this is the thing. Like, I like to consider myself reasonably informed, but I feel like the junior on the show. Like, I really just stay quiet and listen to y'all and try to get as much knowledge as I can. But you see all this stuff coming together, and there's so many bullets that this country has to dodge in order to stay viable. And we're not even, like, we have no control, or we're not exerting the control that we have. And if they manage to get all these voter rolls, right? If they manage to get all that information, we have no more elections anymore. We're underneath the dictatorship of a foreign power.
Or you simply set up a situation where, yeah, you're having elections. You're having elections like they have in Russia. Or like they used to have, in Iraq, you know, where Saddam Hussein would win 99% to 1% and the 1% would disappear.
Well, let me couch something here. Trump election panel has asked all 50 states for voter roll data. In fact, they've demanded it.
Yeah.
And it's not just who has voted. They want your social security number.
Your
they
name, your address, you your social four digits of your social. They want your party affiliation. Yes.
Yep.
That's what Les just brought up, Steve. What's interesting is that Chris Kobach, who is the author of this, says Kansas will not participate. Now, what the job is for anybody who hears about this is to find out if your state plans on participating and say not just no, but hell no. And if, say, somebody wants to put together a class action suit to sue the Secretary of State for an injunction against that, then you know, be civic-minded and sign on the class action, if it's a class action. You know, I don't know.
Hey, Bob.
I don't even know if you can have a class action for an injunction or not, Billable Rick. Hey, before we go any further, please, I hate to do this, but I got to. Steve, thank you very kindly to Steve and Ms. Karen and little Cletus and little Twiggy. They've had a brutal month, but they just put a $25 challenge on the table. And if that's met, it would take us down to $425 to go to finish the month of June. We got an hour and 3 minutes left in the program. Vigorous discussion going on here. I hate to interrupt it, but there's actually a lot at stake in finishing each month on schedule, because you know the Norsky nudging and the Lithuanian licking is a bonus on top of what happens at the end if we can meet the fundraising goal. There are also bills to pay. And it's not something I say idly. It takes rather a lot to keep all of this going. I mean, not a whole lot, but what we try to raise every month is what we, is what it takes to keep going here. Frankly, it's well, shut up, Bob. But it is a minimum, okay, of what it takes to keep going here. And if Steve and Ms. Karen and little Cletus and little Twiggy's challenge is met, it'll take us down to $425 to go. But that's still in excess of 2 full days of funding that will fall short. So I said I'd love to see some new names show up in the in among the contributors. I would, but what has to? I mean, I'm sorry. I don't like this. I mean, I joke about Mr. Soros and blah, 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 and liberals and limousines and shit like that. It would be lovely to have something like that, but we don't. We have the determination of this community to make this community keep going. And so that's where we find ourselves. So with an hour to go in the program, Jesus, that's $100 every 15 minutes. I don't think we've ever done anything like that before. But if we could, it would be monumental. So I apologize for the interruption. And I've had Scott on the stress line for a while now. Let me bring Scott on. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Bob. How's it going?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Okay. I'm sorry that I had to go through the stress line because the audio on my end is not very good. Hopefully you can hear me okay.
I got you.
I had a couple of things real quick. The other day, a friend of mine online from D.C. that I knew years and years ago was bemoaning the fact that with the Senate health bill in a state of disarray and the media talking about it, Trump's reaction apparently was to just tweet about Mika and Joe over MSNBC. And my friend concluded that it took the spotlight off of the health care fiasco in the Senate and then complimented Mr. Trump as we go into the July 4th weekend, okay, well played, Mr. President. And I saw that, and I had to kick in with my 2 cents. And I said, not actually, because from even before Trump got into office, a lot of us were already on to his games and his diversionary tactics. And Trump actually thought it would be enough for him to use his barrage of bombast, bluster, and bullshit, you know, once he got in and in order to get in. And frankly, it did work for a while, owing mostly to a lazy, compliant, cheap, entertainment-oriented news media, and of course, just enough low-information voters in all the right places. But, you know, almost 6 months in, Trump's act is wearing very, very thin. And from my point of view, it also helps that history has shown us that a con can rarely be sustained for a long period. The short cons, usually you hit and split. The long cons will only go for so long, and then you either get caught or the people you're trying to con catch on to what you're up to, okay? So every day, more and more people are waking up to the simple fact that Trump, to get in, overpromised, and since he's been in, has underperformed. And I think that things are only going to get worse for him. Now, hopefully, whatever self-correcting mechanism the system has will begin to work to ultimately rid us of what amounts to a hot, steaming mess that we find ourselves dealing with, you know, before we cause ourselves too much permanent damage. And I know that there are doubters and scoffers and fun makers who hear this, and they scoff at it and make fun of it and doubt it. and they're somehow unable to appreciate the reality that's plainly present before their very eyes. So I would invite them to take heed of the wise words of that noted philosopher Yogi Berra, who said, you can observe a lot by watching, you know? So that's that part of it. The other part, one of your callers, whose voice I couldn't hear too well, so I didn't recognize it, mentioned the Article 5 constitutional amendment process.
That was me.
And the other night, coincidentally, I was looking through YouTube for something else and happened upon a 1991 visit by Gore Vidal, the noted author, to the National Press Club that was broadcast in, I think, December of 1991 on C-SPAN. And during the course of his little talk, he mentions the Article 5 mechanism, and he said that Senator Sam Ervin, who headed up the Watergate committee back during Nixon's day, had at some point done a rather exhaustive study. Now, Senator Ervin was a constitutional scholar. He was not just a country lawyer, okay? He went to one of the Ivy League colleges. I forget which one. But he was up on the Constitution. He was in the realm of Robert Byrd of West Virginia when it came to understanding and having a working, concrete knowledge of the Constitution.
And yeah, anyway, he knew the makeup of the ink that they used to write it.
I'm sorry, I missed that.
Never mind, it was a joke.
Okay, I'm sorry. The audio is not so good on that stress line. But anyway, the sum total of it is Senator Sam Ervin, during his study of Article 5, came up with some concrete facts, and I'm going to look into them, having to do with once the thing is called into being by the mechanism that has to happen for that to occur, anything and everything is on the table, which kind of is a comforting thing, I think, because a lot of us have the notion that the crazies are going to hijack the proceedings and make it be about shit that they want to have happen and getting rid of shit that they want.
Scott, don't get too comfortable, because what Sam Ervin said is true, and there's not a lot of digging to be done. All you have to do, and I hope you can understand what I'm saying through the dodgy audio, all you have to do is understand how Madison and Hamilton hijacked a convention to, you know, just tweak the Articles of Confederation a little bit, and it turned into the Articles of Confederation were fucking gone, and they drafted a constitution, and they went into convention assembled. That's not comforting, okay? Because the right wing keeps promising that in an Article 5, you know, we'll just gavel it in, and, like, we'll have a balanced budget amendment, and then we'll gavel it out, and we'll all go home. Well, no. And we've had extensive discussions of this on the program, and Dr. Bill is authoritative on this. Once the gavel goes bang, all bets are off.
That's what I wondered. Find out from you, because to hear Gore Vidal speak of it, you know, it's not necessarily a bad thing. It hinges on who holds the gavel. Is that it? Or?
And the states, there is a majority of states that are run by wild-eyed birth or death or ninth or tenth or bagger, birch or booger eater, tea bagger, the Trumpanzees. All right. And they've got a list of shit they don't like about America, and most of the shit they don't like about America is us. They don't like women controlling their women parts. They don't like brown people getting all uppity. They don't like Mexicans even coming here. They don't like free speech if it's anything except a life support system for the church or the NRA. They want everybody to have to own a goddamn gun. And that Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination, there's going to be somebody there, that's got to go. And then the idea maybe, because we've seen this manifested on the wild-eyed right, the idea that the Supreme Court is the final arbiter of what the Constitution means. Not anymore, Bubba. I haven't seen the piece with Gore Vidal, But if that was back in the 70s, that was a sweeter, gentler time. This is the whole... What they're talking about is the wholesale destruction of the form of government that we currently have. Senate and the House of Representatives, you don't have to have one of those after the gavel comes down. You could have two clowns and a jester.
Okay, well, I'm glad that I brought that up because apparently, well, I don't listen to Dr. Bill hardly at all, and I must have missed the previous WIN programs where you discussed it, because when I heard that, I said, well, this is interesting. Let me look into this, but you kind of saved me the trouble here.
Well, it's not a good thing. And the sad thing is there are some misguided souls on our side of the discussion who think, you know, that'd be fun. That'd be just wonderful. And we could go in and we could negotiate with them. And, you know, what they'd get is an axe handle across the mouth and the question, you want to negotiate some more liberal?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. Because, like you say, when Irvin did his study, that was in a much kinder, gentler time, to use a George Bush Sr. term. And then... what Gore Vidal said about it was in fucking 1991, which was like eons ago compared to the way things are now. So, yeah, okay, I appreciate the clarity on that.
It is cause for alarm. Because, I'm sure we've got a list, Scott. If you, me, we, the community could sit, you know, maybe we'd have a parliamentary style of government, so that the people who believe everyone should walk backwards party can have like one member in parliament and can have a meaningful voice in forming a government. And you get the idea. But that's not what these people have on their minds.
Yeah. Well, if that goes into being, if we sway parliamentary, I want to be the minister of silly walks.
You'll have to fight me for it.
Oh, no. And I hate to fight. I really, truly do.
That's okay. I'll come at you with a banana, not a pointed stick, okay?
That's pretty much all I had. As far as my interaction with my pal, my DC pal on Facebook, you know, and maybe it's my relentless optimism coming to the fore, but I really think that as time goes on, people, up to and including people in Congress, are going to catch on to what Trump is really up to and just how woefully inadequate he is for the job. And that can only work in our favor, or maybe hopefully work in our favor.
The only way, and this is just me being a little pessimistic, little ray of sunshine, Bob. The only way that the Republican majority in the Congress will modify its behavior toward Trump is if it becomes unequivocally obvious to them that he is toxic to them.
Well, did you see that article in the Washington Post the other day? I think it was yesterday or maybe the day before, about Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, what the GOP did to him. He was barely breathing as far as his reelection this past November, leading up to it. And they diverted funds that would have gone to him because they concluded that he wasn't going to get reelected for his Senate seat. And it turns out he did by a matter of, I think, 70,000 votes or 100,000 votes statewide. So when he was making bad noises against the Senate health care bill in opposition to Mitch McConnell and to Donald Trump, a lot of people said, well, what's this shit? You know, what is this noise? And the speculation is that Ron Johnson, in this particular realm, has gotten on to what Trump is up to and what even his cohorts in the Senate are up to with this bill. And he's making noise that's not making them happen. He's one of the four or five that they really, really need to hang on to.
Yeah, but the problem is he's still nuts.
Well, I know. But even a crazy person can say something lucid. I mean, we hear that on the show every day.
Well, a stopped clock is right twice a day. I get that. But only if the stopped clock still has hands, okay? Ron Johnson has feet.
Well, there is that.
I know the audio is hard to hear, but thank you for your input, Scott. I really appreciate it, and I hope you have a good fourth weekend.
Okay, I'll be listening for the rest, and you all have a safe and sane 4th of July. And be sure to stock up on Lee press-on fingers for those little issues that we have with a firecracker going off too soon in your hand.
Exactly. Proud I am to admit that I've gotten over my fireworks buying fascination. Every kid goes through it, but I made it through. But the other thing to bear in mind, and I throw this back to the group, the other thing to bear in mind is that where the Senate business is concerned, as I keep saying, Mitch McConnell has $200 billion of your dollars in his pocket. And he's going to use it to bribe Republicans and, you know, who knows, maybe Joe Manchin or Heidi Heitkamp. They'll roll over and beg him to scratch their tummy or kick him or whatever he wants to do because they're that dysfunctional as Democrats. This ain't over, okay? And Shelley Moore has already been given what apparently she's already been given what she said in, you know, $48 billion for more opioid treatment. But it doesn't solve the long-term problem of the fact that the right wing wants to more or less destroy Medicaid because, remember, as Rand Paul said, Medicaid is nothing but Christmas ornaments and gifts. So that is that's worth mentioning. By the way, I had a note from GK just a minute ago in Minnesota. He said, I'll meet the $25 challenge, and I'll put a $75 challenge on the table into the mix. So that's on the table, and that'll get us very, very close because we've had some very, very very generous responses. We've had a $100 anonymous contribution. That's good. So that takes us down to $425. That takes us down to $325. And then James took us down to 315. Thank you, James. Tony brought us down to 295. Glenn Cairn took us down to 245 in Washington. Let me make sure I'm keeping up with everything. Ralphs, 195. Pauline, 145. So that's where we stand. If the $75 challenge gets met, we will have actually pulled off a little... we will have pulled off a little Friday on the Front Porch miracle. I don't know what's going on with the levels here.
It's here.
Hold on a minute. What in God's name? All kinds of audio fun going on. All right. Is the group still here?
Yeah, I'm here, Bob, but okay. I can barely hear you, brother.
You know, I don't know what's going on. Maybe, hey, let's add another thing into the mix. Maybe the goddamn mic is dying now. I don't know.
Now you sound a little more audible.
Well, I guess I have to eat the microphone.
Well, there you go.
Bob, you sound a little bit better now. You were just kind of almost drifting away at one point.
All right, and everybody on the porch is blasting, and Bob's just, you can barely hear him, you know.
Yeah, I had a note from Frank telling me the same thing, and some of this has to do with the some of the new settings, and I need to spend some, and hey, it's going to rain, so it's not like I'll be tempted to go outside and weed eat. maybe that means that I'll stay inside, because what I really need to do, and people who play with audio know what this phrase, I need to normalize the whole board. And by the way, I just boosted the living bejesus out of it. I don't have much more room to boost on this thing, but I gave it a little kick in the pants.
Oh, did I hear you correctly that we were almost close to meeting the fundraising goal, Bob?
Yeah, $75 to match GK's challenge, and we'll be there.
Well, that's awesome, and I encourage everybody that can hear my voice. We cannot let this fade away. We can't. Now more than ever, Bob is an international treasure, and he doesn't like when I talk like that. He's a modest man, but we need him more than ever, and it's hard for me, you know. I have problems. I had my foundation. I had to get it resealed this last week, and it costs a lot of money. But
make no mistake, it's been kind of a booger around here too.
Life will hit you with left turns just out of nowhere, but still, we don't want to fall into a fascist state. I'd rather go on margin and keep people like Bob on the internet than to lose him and us fall into some kind of dystopian society. So that's my plea to everyone. I mean, if you can, if you can't, we understand. We've been there. Just, you know, do what you can. $5. Anything, you know, anything helps, doesn't it, Bob?
It absolutely does. It absolutely does. But and I'm sorry it got down to this, but I'd be lying if I said that just being forthright about where I stand on the election and the causes and the whys and the wherefores and the whatnots, and I'm not the only one. A lot of people doing what I do here. You know, there are people out there who were, you know, hardcore Bernie or bust, and they took it on the chin from the people who said, well, you know, I voted for Bernie in the primary, and then I voted for Hillary in the general. And when they got told that, you know, they were a bunch of goddamn establishment shills, they went away. Everybody's taken a hit as a direct result of the one-question IQ test that we failed as a nation on November the 8th, okay? And that's a sign of the depth of division in this country. And you know, beyond progressive media or whatever we're calling ourselves these days, independent progressive media, you can't get any more independent than what the horn is.
Voice of reason, is what I call it.
Well, you know, when I can muster up a little reason, I like to pretend toward it, or let you guys do the work, because sometimes I just sit out on the ledge and flick cigarette butts. Scott was having a hard time hearing, so I didn't want to say something and then not have him hear it. Maybe he's listening on the radio, on the computer now. But I have to come. Scott is our resident optimist, but I need something resembling proof that there's anything out there that will make the Republican majority not just walk away from Trump, but take action to remove him from office. And so far, I don't have any evidence of that, because hand-wringing and pearl-clutching over a tweet does not constitute defending of the Constitution against a domestic enemy. And at this point in time, it's hard not to describe Donald J. Trump as a domestic enemy of the Constitution. Because when you describe, say, the press as the enemy of the people, when the press itself is a constitutionally enshrined institution, well, then you have become an enemy of the Constitution, have you not? when you go after fundamental constitutional rights. You become an enemy of the Constitution. And that's what we're talking about here. Now, I'm not sitting here talking about violence. I'm not talking about bloodshed. I'm not talking about anything except using the mechanisms that the Constitution provides to protect this country and the Constitution from assaults upon it. Does that make sense?
Perfect. Perfect sense. Even the 25th Amendment. And that's what concerned us so much when we got this nut job in the White House, is how the hell are we going to remove him? And I remember us lamenting months ago, I don't really see a way. But now, the crazier he is showing his ass, maybe there is a way. But the people
pulled together. But you know what was particularly interesting? The vast, as far as any count I could keep was, the vast majority of Republicans who were doing all that pearl clutching and hand wringing were senators. While Paul Ryan wandered out with his nice little Eddie Munster widow's peak point in a nice satanic little point, and certainly we don't approve of that kind of thing, but. You know, that's not what we're here for. We're here to fuck Granny.
Well, Bob, it all falls back to all they need is a stooge capable of signing legislation. And they've got one now. They've got their stooge.
Right. And
I don't know if they're going to let him go.
Well, that's the thing. He'll sign legislation if they can get it to his desk. But every time they start to do something, he turns around and steps on their... Oh, I'm going to be a little crass. He turns around and steps on their dicks. Okay? And if you've ever seen a donkey step on its own, you know what a howling cry
yeah.
that...
I grew up on a farm. Yep.
It ain't fun. As one pissed off donkey. And he's mad at himself, you know, which is even better. But... You know, so the house, you know, they have their little beer party in the Rose Garden, and they cheer the number of people that they've just consigned to grim death with the American Health Care Act, or the AHCA. And a couple of days later, he's out there, well, you know, I thought what the House passed was mean.
Mean. And now the new mantra, I'm sure you've heard it, Bob, is... He's pitching a temper tantrum, and he's saying, if we can't pass this health care law, let's just repeal it.
And it almost makes me think that the weird little bastard is listening to the program, because it was a couple of nights ago that I repeated something I'd said months ago, and that is that if they're really serious about it, what they do is they put together a one-sentence bill that says the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, and they give the code site, be and is hereby repealed. Boom! Done.
And think of how many people are going to be thrown under the bus if they do that. And if that just a message of that alone isn't a wake-up call, I don't know what is.
Well, the question is, how long, I think you've got to sort out how much of the 35% Trump base makes up the majority, the voting majorities of the hardcore of the Republican caucus. As long as that's sufficient to give them a majority, nothing happening. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. It's all about the numbers with these clowns, isn't it?
Yeah. And by the way, I want to share a couple of notes, if I may, please.
Sure.
Just got a good one in from Michael in Madison. Subject line, Trump's con. Something Scott said, and he may have been quoting his friend, I'm not sure, raised my I slightly disagree flag. I'm not convinced that Trump's con is as sophisticated as many high-minded folks make it out to seem. He farts and tells dirty jokes and lobs crude insults for his unsophisticated followers to keep them entertained. And he makes vague, dumb promises that he has no idea or ability how to deliver on. And that, in my opinion, is the full extent of his con. And, well, I'll add one more thing to what Michael says. He also treats it all like a reality show where there's a tease at the end. Well, I'll tell you if I had any tapes in a couple of weeks, and you're not going to like it. Does it even mean? But then we find out, no, he doesn't have any tapes. We find out he's just a goddamn liar. It's like the business with whether or not he blackmailed Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski. They said he did, and he said, no, he called me, begging me. I said no. Okay, so you've got one guy that, all right, we're not crazy about him. We know he's a right-wing conservative. We know what he did during the Gingrich contract on America years. But you got that, and he says he's got the paper trail. And on the other hand, you've got a guy who is so much of a liar that the New York Times took the unprecedented step of cataloging all of his lies that they could find this week. And it's a hell of a list. So, you know, to add to what Michael said about his con is, you know, that he tells outrageous lies until he can add to it that he tells outrageous lies until he can no longer get away with them. But Michael continues. Personally, I don't think Trump gives a rat's ass about health care beyond his preoccupation with fucking over Barack Obama by any means necessary, so long as those means require virtually no effort on his part. I may be splitting hairs, but I'm not convinced Trump's tweets are ever actually intended to distract from any other specific things. I find it far more plausible that he just wakes up in the morning and whatever he's tweeting about, be it Joe and Mika or something else, is all that matters to him at that moment. To him, whatever's currently on his mind, however petty, is the most important thing in the world. You know, like Arnold's ratings at the prayer breakfast.
And that's a scary fucking premise, too, man.
Well, yes, it is. His tweets may have the effect of distraction, but he is a very easily distracted and distracting person to begin with, and now he's president. So it just works out that way. With regards to the Russia collusion issue, I just don't think he's sophisticated enough to engineer any sort of long-term cover-up and distract strategy. If he was that capable or concerned about keeping everyone's eye off the ball, he wouldn't have said what he said to Lester Holt. He's no mastermind. And maybe if Michael had continued, he might have fleshed this out a little bit further. I'm still convinced. And it was sort of bolstered by people, you know, it's like Donnie Deutsch sitting there on Morning Joe this morning saying, you know, I've known the guy for 12 years. So in other words, he's known him since he was 58 years old. 4 years older than I am now. And he said, in the 12 years I've known him, he always was in on the joke. He'd say, you want some Trump water? And he'd, you know, wink at you because he thought it was funny. I mean, these are things that Deutsch said. And yes, Deutsch has his own issues. But you know, we're just going through the facts. But he said, and it was later confirmed by other people during the campaign. People started saying, "This is not the same guy that we used to know." And for anybody, and Steve, you're one of them. And other members of this community have similar experiences. For anybody who has ever watched a loved one descend into dementia / Alzheimer's, that's the kind of thing you say to each other in hushed tones outside the house, you know, where nobody can hear. This is not the same. She's not the same person she was a year ago. He's not the same guy that he was when he retired. There's an ad now for places to warehouse your loved ones that runs in the mornings. And the first line of the ad copy is, a year ago, Mom began losing her words. And it's a terrifying concept.
But it happens, and it's a slow regression.
But you do almost so
slowly that you don't see it until you're riding down the interstate, you know, your mom or your loved one's riding down the interstate the wrong way. And I think that's where we're almost at with Trump now.
So how do you find that out, Steve? I mean, there's a White House physician. Remember even during the Reagan era, the statement of the White House physician. Yes, I stuck my hand up Ronald Reagan's ass, and I can tell you that his prostate is just dandy. And we looked a little further, and yeah, there were some polyps. We cut them out, and the gipper's going to be fine now.
Well, we need some true statesmen that's going to put the country above politics. And, you know, I kind of believe they're still out there somewhere. You know, call me a Pollyanna if you want to. But I do believe that they're out there, and that's our only hope. That or the next election.
Well, I mean, they can be out there, Steve, and I'm not going to call you a Pollyanna. I'm just waiting for evidence of it. And the thing is, under the circumstances in which we find ourselves, it is not sufficient to have a bunch of hand-wringers and pearl-clutchers in the United States Senate. You've got to have statesmen in the House of Representatives. And so far, they are not showing up. Yeah, there are some statesmen, and I use that gender in a gender-neutral way, on the Democratic side in the House. But I have yet to see, and look, you know, the hardcore dead-enders, the Steve Kings and the Louis Gohmerts and the Mo Brooks, Les Brains types, they're never going to be. They're going to stick to him to the bitter end, because that will actually ensure, that's what I was talking about earlier, that will ensure their survival, because the majorities in their districts are Trumpanzee not at 35%, but Trumpanzee at 70%. You see what I'm saying? Paul Ryan is no statesman.
No, absolutely not.
You know, and Steve Scalise was one of his whips. He's a Klan sympathizer. He's not a statesman.
They delight on taking away entitlement programs that people have worked and sweated and earned. They delight on that shit.
Who else? Devin Nunes is such a dick that he said, well, you know, I had my fingers crossed when I said I was recusing myself. I'm unrecusing myself! Because his goal is to protect against the Russia investigation.
Well, Bob, this brings me to one of the questions I had on my list. We probably have come to a consensus that the Senate and 18 is a lost cause, but do you think that there's any chance whatsoever that we can regain the House? To me, that is our only saving grace. We need some check and balances on this crazy person.
Look, you know, at the risk of sounding like my very own magic eight ball with the cracked screen on the bottom that always says, answer hazy, ask again later. Answer hazy, ask again later, because that doesn't depend on Republicans, Steve.
Right.
That depends on us. And that depends on us deciding, to go back to the conversation I had a couple of nights ago with Scott, that depends on whether or not we want to go after the Republicans like the clueless ninjas in a Bruce Lee movie, or do we want to go in all at once? Unified as a single force. As a single force, it can happen, but that's going to require the establishment shills and the Justice Dems and the Bernie Bros and the Hilarians and all these disparate forces inside the Democratic Party to decide that in order to wield power, we must take power. And so the great big giant humongous question is going to be how many people or how many portions of that splintered of the splintered group have figured that out. Sorry, I'm almost filibustering at you, Steve, and I apologize for that.
No need to apologize. I'm listening with intensity because, you know, to me, that is our only hope. The Senate, the numbers are just not there. And the House, even the pollsters, even Democratic pollsters are saying, you know, it doesn't look good. So that's brings me back to my point that we need shows like yours. We need shows like Randy Rhodes and even Stephanie Miller and people that don't like her or whatever. It doesn't matter. We need progressive shows.
Yeah,
out
everybody
there.
Doesn't have to. Everybody. Thing, everybody you know? Doesn't have to like everybody. Okay.
But as long as they can take away something that will change their mindset.
And get them,
and get them motivated and go to the frickin' polls, man. Otherwise, we're all going to be fucked.
Yeah,
and
but
headed there
but let me add one thing to that, okay? Because this is something I'm Bob Kincaid, concerned troll. This is something I'm concerned about. Go to the polls. But the first thing you're going to have in 2018 is a primary, unless you're like in a caucus state. You're going to have a primary, and you're going and somebody is going to be selected to run as the Democrat. And in a majority of cases, the incumbent Republican will be also selected to run in November. If it so happens that you were not successful in getting your candidate past the post in the primary so that your candidate will be the nominee on the general election ballot. Suck it up, Buttercup.
Don't pout up and just stay at home.
Yeah, don't, well, you general. No, no. Oh, that guy's such an establishment shell. Or the other side of that coin. Jesus Christ, another fucking Bernie bro. These people don't understand. They're not pragmatic. They don't understand that you can't have everything all at once. Fuck it. I'm going to stay home.
Let's let this whole motherfucker burn down to the ground. Yeah, well, it's about to burn down. How well is this working out for us?
And you know, I take the admonition that I got from Paul from Parts Unknown. A week or so ago, quite seriously.
And you know, I apologize for my foul language.
That's okay. To try to, you know, that's why I'm trying to balance the equation here. Try to, you know, I'm trying to make sure that I speak regarding both sides, because you know what? Just because I was dipped by the heel in all this religion crap when I was a kid, and it stuck. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, okay? Nobody is a perfect candidate. But get it through your heads right now so that you can have it in your head when you vote in the primary next year, and don't sit out the general election in November, that in order to wield power, you must have power. Now, if you don't want power, stay home in November. And then, you know, we'll all just sit around with our thumbs up our butts for another 2 years until it's time for Comrade Kumquat to be reelected, and he will be if we do that.
And in the meantime, North Korea may be launching nukes and horrible things airway.
I mean, there's stuff going on out there.
And Joe and Mika said that this morning, and I know you probably caught that. They are aware of things that would scare the shit out of us if we knew, and my gut is telling me that's probably one of them.
Yeah, listen, there's always an Arkelian battle cruiser orbiting the Earth, and we're 30 seconds from destruction. I take that line from the first Men in Black quite seriously. But the one thing, and we haven't touched on this, the one thing that... kind of made me go, is this what's being reported as a 3 a.m. tweet from former Attorney General Eric Holder.
Yeah, somebody mentioned that earlier. Please elaborate on that. I'm not up to speed on that.
3:17 a.m. Eric Holder, verified Twitter account, at Eric Holder, to the career men and women at DOJ FBI, your actions and integrity will be unfairly questioned. Be prepared, be strong. Duty, honor, country.
Whoa. Who did he think they were directing that at, Bob?
Well, I mean, he directed it quite clearly to the men and women at DOJ and FBI.
But anybody specifically?
To the career men and women at DOJ and FBI. People who have devoted their entire lives to this, to that body. And, oh boy, this is not the time to get into the sordid, seedy history of the DOJ and the FBI. But, you know, he's operating on the premise that that there are honorable people there. And you know what? There are. Just like, and I know you're going to have a hard time convincing some people, there are honorable people who are just desk jockey analysts at CIA, at NSA, at DIA, okay? And so that's who he's, you know, the thing is, Eric Holder doesn't tweet very much at all. And it's kind of, it just kind of came out of nowhere. So, you know, so go figure. I don't know what that means, except, I mean, to me, it looks like Eric Holder expects some sort of A, revelation, and B, a full-out onslaught against the people who had anything to do with the revelation, unsealing of an indictment. It, remember, there's been a grand jury that's been impaneled for months now in the Eastern District of Virginia, which sits just across the river in Alexandria.
And that's all kind of just fallen by the wayside, but all this other craziness that's going around.
Well, it's not fallen by the wayside so much as nobody's paying that much attention to it.
Right.
And you know
right.
what? Good.
Yeah.
Because that means the National Enquirer doesn't have a van staked out outside some grand jury member's home.
And Trump did threaten, according to Joe and Mika, and I'm not trying to sound like Joe and Mika, you know, fans or anything. I think they're part of the problem, the reason that we're stuck with this goon, is they had him on every day, you know. He would just phone it in, and now they've got buyer's remorse. But they probably know something that is very pertinent.
They probably feel guilty for helping to enable the guy.
Exactly.
So they're trying to, like, make up for it now, but it's, like, too late, you know?
Right. You can't return. The Lemon Law is done pass, and you can't return the car.
That's right. Yeah, we get a bad president. They stay in office, generally, for 4 or 8 years. You know? It's the way the system is designed.
Do you think the people would be dumb enough to reelect him for another 4-year term?
In a minute.
Yes.
Absolutely, yes. These rubes, yes. Just listen to Washington Journal, which will give you a finger on the pulse, you know. And there's somebody out there that does that, and I'm not supposed to do it, but I can't help myself. It's like Bob and his affection with, you know, the Joe and Mika show. But I was listening to it this morning, and they have taken over that show. These rubes have. They're supposed to take a Democratic call, Republican call, and independent. Okay, the Democratic caller would say, well, I used to be a Democrat, now I'm a Republican, and I hate the media and what they're doing to press. And then they would go to Republican call, and you know what they're going to say. Then the independent call would be, well, I hate what they're doing to Trump. He is their elected president, you know. And this went on for an hour today. Out of a whole hour, there was only two calls. Two fucking calls out of an hour that supported, you know, the media and what they're trying to do to open our eyes to this disaster that is right in front of us.
What they need to do is have somebody call in and, you know, just kind of, you know, somebody that's real good at spoofing one of these Trump supporters and just, you know, it sounds real ignorant on the air. And of course, probably they'd have people saying that he was a good caller.
Well, friend, back when Brian Lamb and Peter Finn had control of this, if somebody would have called in on the Democratic line and said, well, I used to be a Democrat, they'd have cut him off right then. But Washington Journal has devolved into this pit where they just, everything has shifted to where they'll just take and listen and process whatever nonsense is thrown at them.
I think Bob should gird his loins and call in. What do you think?
Oh, I would love to hear Bob call in.
I tried that once. It was a total disaster. I was on hold through like my 47th birthday.
Yeah, it's not easy.
I mean, I know that they probably got one of those 12 line Comrex stack systems, or some 12 line system that comes in there, and they know who the live ones are. Okay.
Would they take a call from Canada?
Yeah, sure. They'll take a call from Iran if you can get through. They'll take a call from anywhere.
This is on like TV, I assume.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's not Windstream pulled it, so I have to listen to it through my smartphone. But yeah, it's on from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. every day, Eastern Standard Time.
Okay.
Yep.
And,
okay, well,
and
see, I don't watch TV, so I don't know.
But you can. Right. I mean, you can catch it online too.
Yep. Okay. Well, I'll have to tune in online then.
And it is. I mean, it's like a trip to the zoo.
And if that's any indication of where the nation is at, and reverting back to the question, do you really think Trump could get reelected? Yes. Absolutely. Yes.
I guess the question we need to ask is who can beat Trump is probably the salient question.
An orangutan with a Democratic label.
You think so?
He's got the coloring and everything going for him. Intelligent face.
Go.
Yeah.
There you go.
No, but realistically speaking, part of the hand wringing that went on after we failed the one question national IQ test on November 8th was that, you know, it was a perfect storm and people just wanted to tear things up. And you've still got this myth of the millions and tens of millions of people who voted twice for Barack Obama but voted for Donald Trump. So it was exacerbated by the Bernie could have won if he hadn't been ripped off by the DNC, and the Hillary could have won if the Bernie people hadn't been such assholes. See, I'm at both sides. I don't go for both sides duodism, but in this case, it's applicable because it's a sort of a pox on all their houses sort of situation. But we don't know. I mean, I've still got a standing prediction. You know, I got out the frayed purple robe with the unstitched moon and stars and the "Will thee kiss me in the dark, baby" written in glow in the dark ink across the front. And I predicted that Hillary Clinton will run for the Democratic nomination in 2020.
Oh, Bob, please say it's not so. Good God,
I'm standing by it. Because I don't see any evidence out there to suggest otherwise.
I've heard that Joe Biden could run.
And that's out there, too. And both of those, I think both of those are probably our doom.
Biden
would be a better choice than Clinton. My God, she's already proven that she's just toxic.
Third time's the charm, yeah. Steve.
Bob,
I mean, how many?
Shirley.
No,
don't mean
no,
that.
Don't,
Shirley.
I mean it, and don't call me Shirley.
Can I interject?
How about if they call you Leslie Nielsen, Bob?
Interject away, Ron.
Leslie Nielsen was Canadian.
I knew it.
As you know, damn near 50 years now as a system engineer, I've come to reach a deep empathy with the religion of binary. It's either one or a zero. And I'm looking at going forward, and all the folks on the progressive side who tend to circle the wagons and fire inward need to accept the fact that, okay, my guy didn't win, but the guy that did is better than that other fucker on the other side. And
that would have saved our asses in on November 8th.
It would have. And but that sort of pragmatic realism just doesn't seem to have penetrated the wild frontier of U.S. politics.
It used to.
Yeah, I know it did. I was there when it was still a force. But right now, they don't seem to. Everybody's. I think it's a. Okay, I'm going to wax into a Basil Hayden soliloquy here.
Wax on, wax off.
I see an awful lot of the reaction to the last election. In fact, the quote, my candidate didn't win, so the other guys are assholes. And it's sort of a narcissistic, my view is more important and my beliefs are more important than anyone else's. What the hell ever happened to the collective view of us versus them?
What happened to the collective good?
Yeah. That's a binary equation. It's either good or bad. And even if your candidate didn't win the primary, the guy who did is probably more reflective of your views than the guy on the other side. So you vote for the guy that you suck it up, buttercup, and go, okay, I'll vote for her, even though I don't like her, because she's so much better in the long run for us than him. And I didn't see much of that. I saw everybody sucking back into their...
you didn't see it because...
Let me back up just a minute. I'm saying this from the perspective of somebody who is second level affected by the outcome. I'm living in a country that today got voted the most reputable country in the world by no less than reported by the Huffington Post, which is, I mean, God knows we know everything they say is the absolute truth. But the point being, I look at it and going, okay, what happened to voting for the greater collective good? If your personal view doesn't carry the day, what about voting for all the people that have somewhat the same similar approach to what should happen as opposed to the other guys? Now, that would work for either the Republican or the Democratic side, and it doesn't seem to be working for either side, which in a unique way is a bit of a salvation. Because the Republicans aren't immune to this either. I mean, they've circled the wagons and they're firing inward, which is the only reason we don't have some kind of a devastating gutting of whatever health care currently exists in the U.S. Because they're fighting amongst themselves. That's the only salvation we got. But I don't see it emerging as a collective view of the greater good on either side. And it makes me sad because it's not the country I remember. And I'll shut up now.
Well, it's painful, and it's not the country you remember. And I was about to offer some snark up, but I elected not to. It's an issue.
You did good snark, Bob.
Well, no, I was just going to say you only think that because you're an establishment shill. okay, so here's another angle. Brother Deacon Asa says, I'm sorry if this makes me sound like a little ray of sunshine, but what makes you guys think there's going to be an election in 2020? That, just stop that, okay? Just quit that. But we've got...
You have to remember, Asa on the West Coast in Vancouver has access to far more medicinal remedies than most of the rest of us do, at least until next year in Canada, where it's all legal.
Yeah, Yeah, you know what? You know what I need? I need some cannabis infused yogurt. Have they done cannabis edibles into yogurt yet?
All you got to do is mix a little cannabis oil into it, and you're off.
There you go.
But no, we've got to get back to understanding that to the basic understanding that yes, whoever we put up is going to be better than whoever they put up. Republicans understand that because Republicans will go out and vote. Look, yep. how many loyal Bushies voted for Trump? How many Ted Cruz supporters voted for Trump? How many Kasich supporters voted for Trump? How many, both Lindsey Graham supporters probably voted for Trump, okay?
Both of them.
And on like that. I mean, you get how that works. All that having been said, this has been a magnificent conversation, and yes, our little Friday on the Front Porch miracle happened. Nothing supernatural about it. It's just your determination, and I cannot thank you enough. Thank yous go out, a whole bunch of them. Thank yous go out, and I hope I mentioned everybody. Thank yous go out to Anthony and to Henry and to Alma and to Mike and to Reggie and to Black Sheep. More thank yous go out to, moment here. To Thomas, and to Kitty, and to Frank, and thank you one and all because GK's challenge got met. Thank you very, very much indeed. So that, that takes a hell of a lot of stress off me this weekend. And for that, in particular, I thank you. I thank each and every one of you, because we've beaten, we've licked the Lithuanian, we've nudged the Norsky. And that's big, especially as we move into the second half of the year. It's huge. Thank you. So I will thank you one and all for your participation this evening. Thanks to all of you who joined in the Horn Molloy Skype chat group. Thanks for joining in, Scott, over on the stress line. Thank you to all of you who spend your precious finite time engaged in this conversation in whatever means you do. It remains a constant source of amazement and inspiration. Thank you. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky, and to Midweek Utility chat room moderator Steve from Georgistan. Thank you very much. Between us, we managed to keep brain down to only two all-caps invective vulgarity-laden screeds. Good on us. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch. Thank you to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and Coal River Mountain Watch on Facebook. And remember, smile.amazon.com. When you purchase at Amazon, use smile.amazon.com and nominate Coal River Mountain Watch, and they will receive a portion of your purchase price. And it doesn't add anything to the price you pay. So have a great weekend, everybody. Have a happy Independence Day. Maybe read the Declaration of Independence, just for the fun of it. I'll be back Monday. We'll be together on Monday for More and Monday. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.